You're listening to Big Cast, your source for financial technology innovation with John Best.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Big Cast. I'm coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. It is a gorgeous day. As a matter of fact, I'm a little disappointed that I'm even inside. I wish I was outside right now. I'm super excited today to have Tommy Kearns with me. He's the co-founder and CEO of Extreme Push. Hey, Tommy.
How you doing, John? Great to be here today. Not as sunny as Colorado Springs, but we're not too bad in Dublin, Ireland.
Dublin, Ireland, man. That is so cool. The magic of the internet, you know, to think that I could wake up one morning and get a hold of someone in Dublin, Ireland, which is, by the way, the home of my most favorite beer, the beer I have every night before I go to bed, which is Guinness, man. You got to be a Guinness guy, right?
I certainly am. I have to say I love to have one or two at the weekends.
One or two or ten or whatever it is. Awesome. So your company is Extreme Push, and I'll just give a little background for the listeners on how I met you. I was asked to go to Lisbon to visit Temenos's. What was that? Was that their like yearly conference that we went to?
That's exactly right. It's their kind of their yearly conference and showcase for, to the world of all their kind of new products and services, etc.
Right. And for those of you that don't know who Temenos is, they're a large banking software provider with many, many clients across the world. And so I'm always interested in getting out of the four walls of America because I find it fascinating what other regulations are going on and what other cultures are doing and how that relates and all of those things. And so I'm sitting in the audience, and you got to remember the time zones are killing me, right? So I forget, but it's the time zones aren't good for John. And I'm starting to fall asleep a little just because they've got this wonderful hall, which is like huge, like the biggest theater you can think of. And I'm sitting there and I'm trying to take notes, and this really jumpy, excitable guy gets up to talk about his product. And he woke me up. He woke me up for a couple reasons. One, he was saying the things that I like to hear. He paired analytics with using the technology that's available in the mobile app. But more importantly, he was talking about data-driven engagement results. And to me, that's where we got to get to. We've got to stop doing these shotgun things. So I asked him to come and talk to me, and he was kind enough to do it. So Tommy, tell me a little bit about like what you guys have been doing, how long you've been in business, and tell the listeners a little bit about kind of what Extreme Push is.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, John. So Extreme Push around about 3 years now. We are a multi-channel analytics and engagement platform. Our full philosophy, you know, we didn't start in the banking sector at all. We started actually in the sporting sector, which I can give you a couple of examples in a while. But basically, our whole philosophy is around actionable analytics. And so when we started the company, it was being able to take in as many strands of data possible and then be able to action that into communications that drive relevant influencing communications for brands. So be it trying to get someone to take an upgrade in a stadium, in a sports stadium. We were the first company in the world to drive seat upgrading in a rugby stadium, to going into a coffee shop and basically getting a notification at the right time in the right place to reward you for a coffee, etc.
So you were just saying on the sports side, we were talking before this, I think your current captain is a relative of mine, right?
That's right. Big Rory Best. He's one of our, and he's a Lion now. He's out in New Zealand. Unfortunately, he didn't play at the weekend against the Kiwis, but he might feature this week because we didn't do too well at the weekend, unfortunately. But however, yeah, he's a great player and obviously a namesake of yourself. But yeah, it all started for us in the sports side of it. We have, I suppose, just to get to the heart of what, you know, Extreme Push does, we help brands, enterprise brands, understand their users both on mobile and on web, And based on that understanding, through the data insights or data insights, we enable them to engage across a number of channels. So unlike some providers out there, we don't take a very narrow approach. We go very wide, channel-wise, but also we go very deep from a data perspective. So we have push notifications, in-app messaging, emails, SMS, web push, in-web messaging. So once a company gets involved with us, they're able to take in all their data insights from whatever channel and then be able to communicate to their prospects or customers in that relevant fashion in whatever channel is the right channel for that user. All right. So it basically gives the user a much better experience. And also from a brand perspective, it gets a much higher conversion rate to be it a service message or a marketing or a sales message.
Yeah. And I like to think of those as intuitions, right? So you're sort of deriving intuitions based on data. Is that kind of a good way to put it?
That's exactly it. We talk about digital nudges.
Yeah.
But nudging them in the way that actually is very positive outcome for both user or customer and also brand.
So let's say that I am a credit union or a bank here in the United States, and my two primary digital channels are, well, let's say I got three channels that I could share with you. So I'm going to share with you my home banking, which is pretty much strictly web. I'll share with you my mobile, and I'll also share with you basically my foot traffic into the teller line. So
okay, great.
Now that you have all this data, basically all I can give you is, when they logged in, the IP address they logged in from, and on the foot traffic with the teller, I can just tell you, the zip code of the branch. And I give you, and I anonymize all this data, but I also give you, zip code, mail. So once I hand you all that, what do you do with it?
That's a really good one. So we call that kind of a multi-channel or an omni-channel approach. So let me actually give you a use case that we've done for a couple of banks right now.
These are banks in Europe, right?
These are banks in Europe. So we've done this with an international bank here in Europe, whereby let's take your web. So I've logged in. You've logged in on your web desktop or mobile website to do some sort of banking before, and then you've logged out. And then you go back into the corporate website and you fall off a loan or a credit card funnel, okay? But we also know from your behavior on the mobile, so you also have a mobile app, that actually you frequent your branch a lot. So by stitching both the mobile or the web fall off, drop off the loan application, and then understanding that you go into your branch a lot, the next time you go into your branch, we can actually serve up a message to you as you walk in the door using our location module on the platform to say, hey, John, welcome to X branch of a credit union. Mary Jones at the customer service desk will help you with filling out your loan or credit card application. Okay. Simultaneously, and we have done this, we can also integrate into the back end system of or the CRM system of the bank, whereby when you walk in through the door, Mary Jones is also getting a message to her CRM solution on her desktop to say, hey, John Best has walked in and it will be a good time to go out and help him fill in his details of credit card or loan application.
I just want to clarify something for our listeners. I think we got some terminology. So when you say drop off, what you mean is that I basically bailed in the so I was in the middle of the loan process and something, either I didn't have something I needed or whatever, and I was incomplete. I did not finish that process. I just clicked X and closed the window. Is that kind of what you're saying?
That's exactly right. And mostly a lot of banks can't reuse this data without software like ourselves. So we enable them to use the drop-off point, wherever they dropped off because something happened in their lives, I literally, the phone rang or whatever.
Or they didn't, what I find here in America is we ask for so many things and you just don't have some of it. Like Oh gosh, they want 2 pay stubs. Oh, you
Right,
know.
exactly. Or they want the partner's details that, sorry, she's at work or he's at work today.
Right, yeah.
So you're totally right. And when that happens, that's really, really important data that is usually not used. But if you stitch that data together with the mobile app usage behavior and location, all right, we can actually really give a superior user experience to that customer, specifically if they're a branch user as well. So it's not all about, sending messages to a mobile phone. It's communicating to the user in the relevant channel. So in this case, the relevant channel was, the branch network.
But it also was mobile in the sense that we noticed her mobile behavior as well. And you know what's one thing that's very interesting to me about that? And I don't know if you see this in Europe a lot, but here in America, most regional banks, credit unions, and community banks are still struggling to get all of the features that they have on their website on their mobile. So there's definitely some disparity between the features that you have on. And even how they work on, on the bigger, more robust home banking site that's been out there for years and years and years, and the mobile site, which is still relatively immature, given technology means in terms of, having all the different things. And so is that something else you would pick up? Like, hey, this member's really kind of looking for, a loan app on his mobile phone, because some of those guys will never go to the website, right?
So, most banks, they're all going through massive transformational programs, be them banks, financial institutions, or credit unions. There's an awful lot of legacy out there, all right? But actually, and then if you look at it and you take a step back and you say, okay, well, from a user experience perspective, where is, the global consumer going? It's all on mobile, okay? But if you step back again or step to the side and you see, okay, from a brand perspective or from a credit union or a financial institution, it's a much easier, cost-effective way to service your customer in the mobile channel than have, a lot of branches around, around a particular country or territory or, or internationally. So there's all of this kind of stuff going on, and you're 100% right. Most of them are only trying to get to grips with certain aspects of products that they're putting into mobile applications now. And what they're seeing is huge benefits. So let me give you an example of that. So we have one banking customer who didn't have had a personal loan application on the web, but not on the app. And we saw by using our by them A, putting a loan application into the app, all right, and B, analyzing the drop off and matching it to the propensity to borrow in their core banking system. So the likes of linking our software up to the likes of Temenos or Fiserv or any of these big banking core banking systems, they were able to in real time track A, have an application in the mobile application, a loan application within mobile banking application, but B, analyze the drop off and then be able to serve them a message or call them, schedule up a call back to them. And the results were phenomenal, John. They went from 0 to 80% of all loan applications coming from the mobile application.
And
All
there's so
right.
much you can do with that too. This is interesting because, one of the things I see coming for digital transformation is the growth of channels, right? You think about it in the banking industry, ATMs were around forever and they sort of were, you had the ATMs, the teller, the drive-through, and that was it. And then obviously home banking came and there was the voice. And I'm seeing this new contextual banking, right? So at Big, we're really heavy into chatbots. We've been building a lot of AI. And particularly, I don't know if you saw our Five platform. We're actually talking about linking that up with Temenos as well down the road. But there's a product out there we have that runs Alexa, Google Home, Facebook Chat, and Cortana. And it'll be interesting. It would be wild to see what that looks like with your data, right? When you add in these new, because I think we've got to learn to be good at this channel analyzation, particularly as it relates to systemic responses, people that are using one or the other, the continuum of all the services, which is, I think, what you're bringing to the table. You're helping to create a continuum between every single channel. That way, the bank, credit union, community bank doesn't look stupid, when someone comes in and says, "Well, I started here and I couldn't get finished," and they want to pick it up elsewhere. But also, what does that look like with the new technology, voice loan forms, contextual chat forms where it just questions you through it? This is all just fascinating to me, and I think that your analytics piece is going to be a real important aspect of that.
I think that's a really good insight there, John. So we will see a lot of them as new channels and new data come in to analyze. So again, if you look at it's all around about continuing the conversation with the prospect or customer, all right? But then you add to that in the relevant channel. So I might have started the conversation on Alexa, all right? And then now I'm on the mobile app. And now I'm somewhere else. What we are able to do is bring all of that data into one kind of platform and then say, right, based on what we see, the insight is to communicate to this channel, communicate to this person in this channel at this time in this place to get the most or the best outcome for both the consumer and the brand. Okay, so we know, and we know that from all behavior insights, location insights, okay, and also by connecting into some of the core banking platforms out there like Temenos or Fiserv, you then start to get, different segments of, and on and has a propensity to borrow X and has a propensity to do Y. So by using that, to cut through all the complexity of it, if you look at our platform, it's this really, it's this kind of really intelligent brains or rules engine, and then we have these number of channels that we're both taking in data from, and then saying, right, based on all of the data we have and the profile of the user, what is the best channel to go out on, and how should we communicate? All right, and that becomes even more interesting. Just to, I suppose to touch on the point when you bring AI into it and machine learning, and also from a GDPR perspective, because one of the things, and we I suppose we can touch on that in a second, but from a GDPR perspective, it's going to become very, very important for big enterprises to be able to get their hands access to these to the data, and then to be able to give full audit trails, to be able to delete, to be able to give the customer and consumer their data back, and also to be able to delete the data.
Well, and consent even, right?
Sorry, of course, consent, and all of
That's where I
that.
see you really being super valuable, is that by creating this two-way communication. But let's back up. I've done whole podcasts on both PSD2, the Payment Services Directive, and I've talked about GDPR, but I always like to go back and give our listeners an update on it. So why don't you give us what GDPR is, and then and because I was just going to say, is there a worry that the customers might find this a bit creepy, a bit big brotherish, and also because I know that's going to be what we hear from the credit union, group, and also from the community banking group, and how you've defeated that, and how you're going to turn that around, because you're actually looking at GDPR, which you'll explain in a minute, as being like an opportunity and not a problem.
Totally agree. So I suppose to back up, what is GDPR? Well, it's similar to the data protection that you guys have in the States, only it's European wide, but it affects the EU and America, or any global company looking to do business in Europe, it will affect. Because if the consumer is using your services, and they're in the EU, they have the right to all of the protection and privacy laws that GDPR go by. It's
Which
still,
includes the right to be forgotten, right? So if you want to go to Google and go, "Hey, delete everything about me," they have to do it, right?
Okay. So it also starts the premise of opted in. So you must have an explicit opt-in, whatever service you're doing. So there's no more kind of, tick, you go to a service and the tick is already, the box is already ticked, and then you just check out. They have to explicitly opt in to all your different types of communication and services, okay? It's, you know, it's privacy by design, so you have to, you actually have to design your entire product and service around looking at the privacy of the customers first, okay? And then obviously, you know, consent. And then I suppose the big thing will be security, how it affects security, and then how the breaches of, you know, the data breach, you know, up to now, you know, the processor and the data owner were very, very different, and or the data controller were very much handled in a different way. Whereas as a data processor now, you have a lot more responsibility to be a data processor. But for us, I suppose, to go back to your question, we see that as an opportunity, because you know, the way we're built, the way we were totally architected, is on a modular basis. So we have now a GDPR module built into the entire platform, which allows a DPO or a data protection officer within your organization to have access to the and him to only, or she or her to have access to that specific data and be able to do, you know, have a look for access requests, you know, send out audit trails of why they got certain communications, and have it on hand rather than waiting 30, because there's huge fines, by the way, John. You know, up to now, it's kind of been a slap on the wrists, right? Whereas GDPR, there's fines of up to 20 million or 4% of turnover. So,
wow. So if you accidentally communicate with someone in a way that you didn't, you know, that you can't document and say why it happened and they opted in, man, you're on the hook for a lot, huh?
Totally. And it's now started, you know, all the big credit unions, banks, big enterprises globally, right? Starting to really get a handle on this, because it's not just, you know, if I'm in the US, I don't need to worry about this. If you are in the US and you have EU customers, you absolutely need to understand this and use this kind of framework to the best of your ability.
Well, and interestingly enough, you know, I was looking through your website before this, and I've been there several times, but you know, you have three of our big global brands, right? You have PGA Tour, which kind of, you know, I think relates to your sports background, probably doing something similar to what you did for Leinster Rugby. You also have Shell, which is another worldwide piece, and 7-Eleven. And so all of those guys would have, you know, I mean, especially the convenience store model, those thrive on this push type of technology. Get your next free cup of coffee.
Right. And loyalty is a huge point, and how, you know, so if you look at that type of retail offering, and if you bring it back to either be it a banking setting, all right, you know, there's an awful lot of loyalty programs, an awful lot of money, an awful lot of time, resources being spent on retail partnerships in banking or in just retail like Shell or 7-Eleven, etc. But it's actually when you've done all the hard work and the graft to set up these partnerships with your partner retailers, you know, now you need to ensure that you activate those customers at the right time in the right place. So our technology enables that. So it means when you go into a 7-Eleven, you get a push notification to say, actually, you have a free coffee or a free bun or croissant in your wallet. Make sure you redeem it. Same with Shell, but same in the banking context. Okay, same in the credit union context. An awful lot of resources being and time being spent on doing these kind of card linked offers. All right, with big retail partnerships. And what's happening is it's all being stitched together. But then, how do I activate my consumer, and how do I let them know at the right time to use the voucher or use the discount that they've got by swiping the brand's card when they're in the different retailers. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and one of the things I liked when you demonstrated in Lisbon that I thought was really cool, and it sort of relates to what you're talking about here, was this idea of message templates, right? Because that's one of the challenges I see when people get tools like this is – they don't necessarily they okay, so now you have this way to communicate, but what do you communicate with? How do you communicate in each channel? What are the key ways to go about that? And if I remember right, you had kind of a way to create sort of these templates that you could push for each individual type of situation. Am I wrong, or is that kind of, for each channel?
So we have a total, we've a full messaging template module, and we have a full redemption module. So basically, in simplistic terms, be it email, be it push, be it in-app, you can actually set up your templates in advance, and we have a number of templates kind of off the shelf, which we work with brands on. And then basically, when they want to go, okay, so I want to do X, Y, Z offer in this particular retail store, and we want to do it through push, or we want to do it through or geo push. So when they walk into the retail store, I want to ensure that my banking brand is top of mind, and I want them to use my card other than the competitor's brand. So we enable them to understand that the user or the consumer or the is in that store, and then push them an offer to say, hey, your offer is in your wallet. Make sure you check out with brand X cards today, and you'll get double points, or you'll get a discount, or it'll go towards more loyalty or rewards points.
Yeah, actually, it's interesting because, as you know, or you may not know, we actually have a product called Set It Credit, which is really the idea of pushing cards into retail sites. And it's definitely, we'll have to talk because this is part of our plan is a whole marketing piece that we're building out at the moment, which includes inbound marketing, understanding, sometimes people will get tricked just by like a credit card or something that looks like a really good deal, right? Like a airline credit card or something. But when you look at the rates and you look at the fees and then you look at, say, where you're at now, and it's even though it's a lower fee, but it doesn't have the two bags or whatever. But when you do the math, it turns out that you could get eight bags for free, instead of paying the interest. And that's where I think these message templates could come in real handy, because you've got to tell that story. And nobody's going to do that math right off the bat.
No, absolutely, and it's also about getting to that consumer at the right time with the right message. So as they're in the mind space to read that,
Right, because you catch them while they're, in the middle of something. And that's what we've learned, with our inbound marketing is, hey, when's the right time to put something out on Twitter? When's the right time to hit someone with a message? And you're exactly right. It's understanding the rhythms. Remember the old, I don't know if you're old enough to remember this, remember the old biorhythm software that we used to have, that would basically try to figure out, when your up days were and all of those kinds of things. And it sounds like you're kind of figuring out oh, I'm going to come up with a new name, the FIO rhythms, the FI.
No, you know what? But and the thing about it is, it's not an exact science. It takes a bit of A/B testing, multivariate testing, and that's great because then we have that as well. You can use that module here, there, and everywhere, and say, okay, you know what? I tried this. It only got an X percent of a conversion rate, but I tried this one at a different time, using on be it on a different location or whatever the behavioral targeting is, and it worked much, much better. Okay, let's just go with that one from now on. So, it's like anything. You're right. It's about finding the right rhythm with the consumers of that particular brand.
Well, and it's measuring, right? That's the key. What I like about what you talked about was, and it was you flew right by it, but it's actually one of the most important things. You said our message templates have both sort of origination and completion. And completion is the part that we find here in the States is a big problem, right? So you get a great message, it looks like a great deal, and then you click on it and it goes to some website and it you can tell it's not actually going to do anything, It's just sort of taking the message and someone's going to call you back, and you kind of were excited to complete that, to get that credit card right then and there, to get that benefit, to get those points, and you can't necessarily do it. So it seems like you guys have some of that worked out, because that's what I call the last inch, of the deal.
No, you're 100% right, and I'm glad you kind of went to that, John, because if you take the technology out of it altogether, Okay. And you look at, you know, what are you trying to do? Be it service, be it UX, be it a cost reduction, or be it a cross sale or an upsell. All right. You have to be measuring all. So we have within the platform, you're able to set a goal. And what that goal could be is, you know, could be conversion for a sale. It could be a conversion for actually they got the message and they were able to do whatever they needed to do. But it's all about the measurement of that and analyzing that and then reapproaching again. And we you know, it's as I said, it ain't an exact science, but unless you're measuring the conversion on a daily basis or on a weekly basis, and then going, okay, what did we learn? Okay, that's going really, really well. Let's keep that going, but let's change this. And it's optimization. I tell you, the gaming companies around the world are awesome at this because, you know, that 1%, and banks, by the way, you know, 1% difference in for a bank, is, you know, it's worth a lot of...
It's a big jump.
So 1% optimization is huge for these guys.
Well, you know, and I was thinking this weekend, I've been really, you know, doing a lot with machine learning, been in heavy in the TensorFlow and the Azure machine learning studio. And so one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about is, you know, predictability for someone that's going to get a car or a loan. And our traditional way of doing it is going in and saying, okay, we think these patterns are, you know, sort of they're early indicators of someone who's going to buy a loan. But, we're just sort of guessing at that. But it seems to me with what you have, if I gave you a list of everybody who had bought a loan or gotten a loan recently, particularly with as we move into the machine learning, that, you know, the idea is to give it a bunch of content and let it figure out what the patterns are. Right. And so
you're 100% right, and that's where we're all going, John. I think, you know, we're in the early stages of our AI module ourselves. It's not out there yet, but that's exactly where. So that kind of piece of, you know, predicting what the next segment should be and where it's going to be, it is there. It's out there. Lots of, you know, there are specialist AI companies who are getting good results on it. It is still kind of I won't call it embryonic, but it's still it's very kind of early stage. And I think, you know, the next 24 months, 36 months is going to be huge. But what I will say is, you know, from our perspective, when we look at AI as an industry, we love it because for us, it's just another beautiful piece that you have to communicate off. So you use our behavior, you know, you analyze it all, you use, you know, kind of machine learning and all these other different types of techniques being used. And then you go, okay, what is that bubbling up as an insight or a communication insight to my prospect or to my customer? And we will use that then to be even more precise in our comms across different channels to get a better and optimize that better conversion.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to me because, you know, we had Eric Berlow, who was amazing at a TED Talk speaker at our AXFI conference. So we hold a conference every year that's it's innovation and analytics, which I hope you can make it to next year. And we just had a great turnout, and he spoke and he said, you know, what's feeding the AI and the analytics revolution is not tech, right? It's data. It's the evolution of the amount of data that we have to actually draw conclusions or intuitions from. And I think that's what's going to feed the machine learning / AI, or even the, you know, augmented intelligence, right? You know, there's kind of two AIs. There's artificial intelligence and augmented intelligence, which is where you sort of, and I think that's kind of where you're going to, is more of an augmented intelligence to be able to use sort of intuitions of the domain experts and then be able to pull that together. But, you know, I just wanted to thank you for coming on the show. I think this was insightful, and I think a lot of people are probably going to want to know how to find you. I know that there's extremepush.com, which is spelled extremepush.com, and it's a great website, lots of blogs and information out there, information for fintech, and I know that's one way to get a hold of you. But how and we'll put all this in the show notes as we always do, but how else could someone get a hold of you, Tommy?
Yeah, you can get us on our handle, or Twitter handle of at Extreme Push, X-T-R-E-M-E-P-U-S-H. and or if you want to give us send in an email to us, just email us at info@extremepush.com, and that's info@extremepush.com. I must say, John, I really appreciate your time. I've really enjoyed, and as I always do, speaking to you. With heritage like you have, I hope we can have many, many more, and maybe share a few Guinnesses.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm hoping to get out to Ireland soon. I'll actually be in Vienna coming up at the World Council of Credit Unions, and I think we've got some other work coming up out in London again. So I will definitely keep in touch, and we know that. You know, I believe Europe's leading the way in a lot of banking things. I know a lot of folks believe that as well. And I just love to learn. I so enjoy, connecting with smart, engaged, and particularly people who are jazzed about what they're doing. And that was probably the biggest thing that I got from your, at the Innovation Jam, was that you were really just excited about what you were doing. And I think part of that's just you've had some big successes, and it came through. And I believe this. We have to stop this shotgun approach of marketing and this shotgun approach of because it just costs us a lot of money. And I believe that, it's I've said this before, it's sort of going to be without systems like this, the institutions who don't have it, it's going to be like cowboys and Indians. And, we all remember what happened to the Indians, since they didn't have, all they had was bow and arrows and they didn't have guns. And this is really sort of the big weapon for being relevant in the future, at being targeted, being more effective, being more efficient. It hits every button on the list of, I believe, what, the major financial institutions are trying to achieve. So thank you again for joining us.
Thank you so much, John. Thank you.
All right, everybody. Thanks again for this edition of the BigCast. And if you need to find me, it's at JBFinTech. Also, you can go to www.big-fintech.com. Talk to you soon. Bye now.
Got a question or want to join the conversation? We'd love to hear from you. Tweet us at BigFinTech. Email us at info@big-fintech.com. Or visit our show notes and comments at www.bigfintechmedia.com.